Good morning, everyone. It is Q&A day. I know I look a little on the tough side. I got my tough motor hat on. it's haircut day. So I went ahead and worked out this morning. I'm gonna talk to you guys about that for a minute while you guys come in. And took a shower, but I don't like to wash my hair before I go because they're gonna put all kinds of bleach and stuff in it. So there's just really no sense in washing it before I head on over there. And so today, this is the only call I have, and it's like, then it's no makeup day. So I'm gonna like just lotion up and let my skin get a lot of good moisture and all that kind of stuff in it today. When you come in, if you wanna ask a question, just use hashtag ask. That's how this call rolls. So I wanna make sure that if anybody has any questions today that you get them answered. We got moved in, and one of the things I wanted to tell you guys about that I think a lot of us go through, especially if you're an exerciser. I have been literally so tired the last, probably, like I was running high on adrenaline for about 2 weeks prior to the move. If you don't remember, 2 weeks ago I was in Phoenix and I went to a 4-day conference that was nonstop all day long. Like literally we started at 9 o'clock at night, we ended at 7 o'clock, and I was clocking around 15,000 steps a day, which is so much more than what I normally do. Guys, if I crack 7,500, I'm just like, who the hell am I today? So it was a lot of walking, a lot of thinking, a lot of all that kind of stuff. Then I came back, and then so I got home on Monday, and that Friday we moved. So that week I worked around the clock to make sure that when move time happened, all I had to do was move. So I wasn't having to work. So I was like running, you know, pretty hard through all that and packing through it. And then we moved, which took a little bit of, you know, energy and effort. Well, by Monday, I had started my period, and the like collective wheels on the wagon just flew off and crashed into things. And so I was extremely tired by Monday, and to the point where I felt like I couldn't think. Chris was really tired. We were all really tired. We were all really wore out. And I was struggling even with wanting to work out. Like I never struggle with working out, and I never struggle even sticking to my schedule most of the time. I'm so used to doing it. So I was actually talking to my coach, and I was, you know, talking about all this, and she just was like, you have been running. I think your body is just trying to tell you it's time to like slow it down a little bit. So what I did was, rather than feeling guilty that I'm not working out or feeling bad that I'm not doing this or, you know, whatever, I decided to really rewire my brain and started asking myself, what are the most important things to get done? What are the things that are really going to move the needle? And, you know, just kind of like, I think it's really easy for all of us to put on our plates everything or all the things that we think we have to do. And what we forget is that what we need to be doing is focusing on what's truly important in our life. So this week, I literally did that. I just made a list of all the things that would be the most important things to do for you guys, to be the most important things to do for my family, for the house and whatnot. And the rest of it, I just set it aside. So I've done some walking, I've done some stretching, and today was literally the first day I really felt like working out. And so I did a Peloton ride this morning, and I decided to pick one that was completely fun. It was a pop rock ride with this guy named Cody, who was hilarious. And when we were in the Britney Spears song, Hit Me Baby One More Time, he was like, boo, all I need you to do is spin at 90 RPM and shake them titties. I was just like, oh my God, this is exactly why I picked this workout today. I just needed someone who was just gonna just like, this is what I love. So I think a lot of times, guys, when we're having a lot going on in our life, we really want to think about the things that are most important. It's so easy to think we're busy, and it's the easy part of life is to think we're really busy and then procrastinate and go into overwhelm and just not get anything done. Or we end up doing what's actually important, but we give ourselves no credit for it. So then we spend all the margin time beating ourselves up over what we should be doing. And it's like, there's a third option. It's always to deliberately be thinking about how you're spending your time and noticing like what like phase of life are you in? you know, all of your life, even in the month, you're going to have different phases. You're going to have weeks where the productivity train can be out the door. You're going to have weeks where it might not be, but you always can be getting the most important things done. I don't want to just always be busy and always be doing things. What I want to be doing is always making, like, I just want to always feel like I'm contributing or that I'm really doing things that matter in my life. And not just in business, but like for my health. You know, like this week, the thing that really mattered for my health was good nutrition, not having wine. Let me just tell you, every day on my period, the wine sounded amazing. Like I was like, hey, Chris, you want to go have wine? And he's like, no, you don't need it. I'm telling you, you're tired. You need to, like, Chris was like, Chris was the better part of my brain this week. Because every day I'm just like, are you sure you don't want to go? Like I had all the justifications and all the reasons. When he would say no, I'd be like, you know what? You're right. Like, he was my stopgap this week. Because I'm not always my own stopgap. Now, one day I was. One day I just looked at him and said, oh, there's no way fucking hell I can go do anything today. But most of the time, you know, this is why I encourage you guys, have the tribe, have accountability partners that are going to have your back, post in here, find your accountability around you. Like for those of you who are so terrified to lean on other people, I'm like, fucking bullshit. No, get over your fear of leaning on other people and start experiencing the benefit of leaning on other people. After you get the benefit a few times, you're like, I must have been smoking crack because this is great. I mean, seriously, that's why I think accountability is so important. So it's just like, you know, meeting yourself where you're at and like constantly asking yourself what's most important. I did that this week. You know, with my exercise, the most important thing for me, I just know at the core, because this is exactly how I started with my exercise. It's so funny because I was talking about it. I was just like saying it out loud to my girlfriend and she said, you think exactly like you did on day one, like the first day you got off the couch. She said, she was telling me, she was like, one of the things I love the most about you is that you just never really have changed. Like the person you started is the person that you are today. And that's what I try to teach you guys. And she said, you said out loud while you were talking to me that the most important thing was not what workout you were doing. It was having the consistency of loving what you do. And so every day, like I would, like there was one day that I wanted to clean up my garage. Like I just wanted to move this stuff around. I was like, I know that if my workout stuff is organized and tidy and whatnot, it will be more inviting to go in there. And so I used that as my workout one day. And I mean, I wasn't like killing it, guys. I know I have dumbbells and shit, but I wasn't like, you know, moving boulders around or anything. I just made it inviting. And then like another day, I was Marco Poloing her from the greenway. I didn't even know this, but our house is attached to a fucking greenway. I'm just like, what? We're the luckiest people that ever lived. You know, so I'm messaging her and I said, I just wanted to walk today and I just happened to find this greenway and this has been the most relaxing, peaceful thing I've done. And I talked to her for 25 minutes on Marco Polo and that was my workout. And it felt amazing. And, you know, from day one, I just always knew that everything I wanted to do for weight loss, I needed to love it. I needed to look forward to it because there were going to be days like these when I would not absolutely want to do it. But if I hadn't built a system that required all my mental bandwidth, all my energy, and a lot of willpower, then it's easy to keep going. And so I was just telling her, it's like, right now, I just feel like I'm in that phase where I want to do the things I love. I want it to all feel good. I want to enjoy it. And I want to keep the consistency of habit. And I did the same thing with food this week. You know, we just were eating just healthy and together. And, you know, I don't know. It's just like, I started thinking about what is most important. All right, let me go in here and see if we got any questions, guys. So that's been my week. It's literally been about, just meeting myself where I am and being super realistic about what's going to work for me this week. What am I going to stay committed to? And it's been really easy, especially with, I'll say this. It hasn't been really easy in terms of energy. I have really felt drained. I had to spend all of my mental energy not beating myself up for not being my normal, like 90 miles an hour person. that was where all my mental energy went this week. Not into doing, because I constructed everything that I was going to be doing to be decided ahead of time and the best decision for me that would be easy to execute. Then the rest of it, all the mental energy went around liking myself, not beating myself up, refusing to judge myself. That's where all the hard came in this week. It was all the sentences that wanted to run through my brain. All right, Christina says, how do I stop making unrealistic plans? I judge myself as someone who isn't serious about losing weight when the plan is realistic, but I seldom follow the plans I make 100%. You don't want to stop making unrealistic plans. You have to just stop. Seriously, I know you guys think that there's some magic answer out there that's going to make this easy, but the only way to stop is don't do it. You have to tell yourself. What you're doing is you're having a conversation with yourself all the time about why it should be unrealistic. You're like totally obsessed with the idea that you should be doing things that you know you're not going to do. That's what I want you to see. Like, you can sit there and argue all day long to hold on to something. Like, here's what you could tell yourself. Unless I plan on turning into a unicorn or a fairy today, I refuse to keep making plans that the past history has shown me I choose not to follow. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a page out of Corinne's book. I'm going to be very realistic because I fucking intend on losing weight. Like, this plan over here, this is called my non-weight loss plan. This is my, I like to pretend to everyone in the world and to myself that I'm losing weight, but I'm not really doing jack shit. I am just indulging in the idea that I'm doing things. Here's the realistic plan. The one that actually gets done, the one that actually requires work, the one that I'm going to have to talk to myself to actually follow because I think it's too easy. It's like, yeah, let me just give easy a try. I've been busting my ass on hard all over here and it's getting me fucking nowhere. Like, that's the conversation that needs to be had in your head. It needs to be more about making sure that you understand how donk-tastic these unrealistic plans are. Because they're not working. Quit beating your head and yourself up over doing something that's not working. Move into the side where you get the opportunity to succeed. And you need to have conversations with yourself that this realistic planning over here, it fucking works for people all the time, every day in PNP Tribe. You are not special. Guys, get over it. All of you quit trying to be so fucking special. What's amazing is you guys want to be special in the most stupid ways. You want to be the special one that suddenly is going to be like, yeah, the restrictive diets really work for me. The really hard ones that suck and I can't do for a lifetime. Oh, I'm the special one. Like, quit arguing to be special. Argue to be normal. I want you to be like every other person in PNP Tribe who loses weight. They're the normal ones. Let's hooray it up for normal. Let's quit trying to be special. Let's see. Ingrid, you need to, before Kathy you even post it, you need to ask Ingrid for more information. She just said time. It's a horrible thought. Time is not a horrible thought. Time is a circumstance. How do I change this story? What I want you to do is I want you to tell us the story that you're telling around time. Amanda. Every 30 days when my new goal gets updated on my plan, I spend a week doubting myself and wondering if I'm going to make it, etc. I have fought through it so far, but thoughts of the mental crap behind that. Hey, Amanda, it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. You don't need to know. You don't need to dig any further. You just need to every time, like, seriously, guys, you all think that you need to somehow get Freudian up on these bitches. We don't need to do that. Like, in this case, every 30 days when my goal updates on my circles, you need to just, like, every time you hear yourself doubting, then you need to immediately go into, and that's just something I think. And sometimes I doubt myself, but that's not real. That's all that needs to happen. I don't want you spending a lot of time digging around trying to figure out why you doubt yourself. You doubt yourself because you don't think you're going to do it, period. Big ass mystery solved. Here's the thing. I want you to move on to debunking it. I want you to every time, like, I want you to quit being like all weirded out that you're doubting and just be like, that's normal. I spent like most of my life not believing I'm going to be able to do this. So I'm going to spend probably 1,000% of my time telling myself that I'm going to do this. all the way while I doubt it, all through all of it. Because that doubt doesn't change unless you change the conversation. If you just keep retreading, you feel truth in what you think. So if you think over and over again something, you will find it to be your truth. So you need to start thinking something again, over and over and over again, so that you can find your proof or find your truth. That truths are our beliefs. Our beliefs are a construct of just the things we allow ourselves to think over and over again. The key word, allow ourselves to think. Our truths have nothing to do with what's happened in the past. It has nothing to do with all the failed diets. It has nothing to do with how we grew up. It has nothing to do with any of that. It all has to do with the sentences you're going to tell your brain about all of those things. So like I have a story about all the diets that I failed. My story is I needed to fail a lot of diets before I could figure out how I needed to just do it on my own. That I needed to figure this shit out for myself. If I had continued the story that all of those diets meant I was a fucking loser who would never lose their weight, guess what? I'd be a fucking loser who could never lose her weight. Truths are debatable. Most of you are not debating for an alternate truth. You are arguing for the problem. You're arguing for the truth that feels like shit. And then you get mad that you keep thinking it. It's like, yeah, you'll keep thinking it a long time until you tell yourself a new truth so many times that your brain is like, oh, I guess I assume we want to start thinking this now. Because you keep rerouting me there. So now I'll go there first. And then when the old thought comes in, it will fit. Like, this is what I want you guys to think about for a second. When you start telling yourself a new truth, right now it feels so alien. Because you've been telling yourself this one for so long. There will be a day when your old ass, sorry ass story will come into your brain. And it will feel like an alien because you've been telling yourself a new truth for so long. That's how it works. But you guys want it to just happen like that. That's not how it works. So quit wanting that. Give yourself the relief of never needing it to happen fast ever again. Give yourself the relief that it's normal, and give yourself the relief that you can just tell yourself something new anytime you want to. And eventually you'll just start believing something new and you'll start acting in accordance to it. All of those things will just start happening. As long as you drop the story that it needs to happen fast, it needs to happen now, and that you can't tolerate the old thoughts. It's like, sure you can. The worst that's going to happen is you'll feel shitty for a minute. I have shitty thoughts all the time. Like right before I came on this call, I was like, oh, fuck, I can't believe I'm getting on this call without all this makeup. All of a sudden, I'm just like thinking about my face. I'm like, girl, please, moving on. Like, I felt bad for like a hot second. That's the worst that happened. Shitty thoughts, feel bad. Oh, wait, it's not that bad. Moving on. Like, that's the worst of it. But we spend all of our time like, can you imagine if right before this call, if I had thought that and I'm like, oh, I just don't know why I can't think I'm pretty. I just don't know why every day I have to wake up and feel so terrible about myself. I don't even know how I'm ever going to be able to speak in front of these people. This is some shit. I can't be my best if I keep thinking this way. Like if I did all of that, can you even imagine? For fuck's sake. That is what you guys do when it comes to like food urges, not believing in yourself and all this other stuff. Suddenly you turn into a 2-year-old who wants a lollipop. Like, I don't want to think that way anymore. I just don't believe in myself. And get on, just have it. And it's like, no, you fucking can't. Let's get busy doing something. Here's some Play-Doh. Go play and busy yourself. That's what I do to myself all the time. I'm like, Corinne, for fuck's sake, get over it. And then I do. And then I move on. I'm having a lot of judgment about my wife's bad eating habits. I have listened to Zoom calls where you coached on this, and I'm working to pay attention to what I do rather than what she is doing. It's a lot easier to judge someone else than it is to be like, oh, fuck, I gotta leave two bites behind. I have done TDLs and realize I have a fear that I may not be able to keep my weight off permanently if my partner wants to eat out a lot or keep a lot of crap in the house. Can you provide a swift kick in the ass about letting go of the fear? Thanks. Yeah, like, so this is really common. We, in fact, you should watch yesterday's coaching call. I actually talked about this. There was a woman who got coached. I think it was the very end. Can't think of what her name was. Susan, I think. The very last call on yesterday's coaching call. So this today is the 28th, so it would be the 27th. I think her name was Susan. She was, we had a last minute ad at the very end because we had somebody cancel. It was really good because she was going to visit her mom and was all worked up and worried about there being tempting food in the house and stuff. Your job right now is you have to stop judging your wife's. First of all, she does not have bad eating habits. She has eating habits. Bad is your judgment. And this is what I want you, this is how we know this is a judgment and not true. Because I'm sure that when you think of her eating habits as bad, you do not feel neutral. I'm pretty sure you feel like judgy. So we need to make sure that we understand that she has her own eating habits that belong to her. And that right now, she is in the space of this is how she's going to be eating. You need to do more work on how you are eating. And here's the thing. Whether or not her eating habits ever change or not has nothing to do with your weight loss. Like, this is the thing. You'll be able to keep your weight off if you can lose your weight around her. Nothing's going to change. You have to be able to be around other foods. Right now, you think it's going to be so much easier if she would just change. Only because you keep thinking what she's doing is bad and somehow it's going to rub off on you. None of that has to happen. Like, I would take every single opportunity when you are around her and the food she's eating to let her just be who she is, because you want her to let you be who you are. Because here's the funny thing, guys. We always think, but they have bad eating habits. They should change. Whereas the person who's fucking enjoying all of their eating habits, they probably think they're fucking entertaining. Want us to, like, why can't they just eat with us? Why can't they just eat like a normal person sometimes? Why can't they just, like, not nag me? Why can't they just eat their salad and be happy? Like, we wonder why people who are not trying to lose weight get so worked up and want to offer us food all the time because we're a fucking a-hole when we're eating our food. We want everybody to change. We kind of look at them sideways eyes like, really? You're going to eat that in front of me? You know how hard this is for me, right? They're like, no, I don't. Like, I'm just eating my pizza. I didn't realize this was an emotional event. Like, that is what goes on in other people's brains. And they look at us and like, we want them to change. They really want us to change because they don't like being judged. There's a lot going on in their brain. They don't like somebody pretending as if their pizza somehow affects their mood. Have you ever noticed when other people are eating pizza, they don't really seem to have like, they don't really believe that our mood can be affected. And we're like, what are you talking about? Yeah, they're living in reality and we're not. So what I need you to do is I need you to just understand. It's like her eating habits are her own. My eating habits are my own. And I just need to be working on the idea of telling myself all the time, I can be around any food and maintain my weight. I can be around any food and none of it has control over me. If I eat it, it won't be because my wife brought it into the house. It won't be because it's tempting. If I eat anything, it will be because I chose it. Every single damn time. That has to happen first. The personal responsibility has to always come into play first. So listen to yesterday's call. If it's already up, Kathy, go ahead and link it into the comments. We'll want to link this in when we do the Facebook upload. We want to put this in the description. I'm turning 60 in July, and both my parents died of cancer in their 60s. The story I tell myself is my extra weight is going to help me if I get cancer, and it will give me some extra time. You mean being overweight is going to help you if you get cancer and it will give you extra time? It's a horrible thought. How do I change this story? Well, I don't think it's even true scientifically. You increase the likelihood of getting cancer with weight. That is a statistic. That might be one thing that you want to tell yourself. I don't know if you mean that having extra weight. So, like, I remember when my grandparents both had cancer, they lost a lot of weight and whatnot. And I don't know if you're thinking if I was heavier, somehow that would, I guess, stretch it out. The main thing that I would just be telling myself is that just because my parents died in their 60s of cancer has nothing to do with me. I don't know if you know this, but genetically speaking, if you have a parent that has cancer, you have a 10% likelihood of getting it. Like, it's like somewhere in that range. I've read somewhere where it's mainly like let's put it this way. Genetics plays a 10% role in the likelihood of getting cancer. The strongest correlation to not getting cancer is always going to be what you do with your mouth, your movement, and being a healthy weight. Those are the factors that are going to matter more than anything. So sitting around and holding on to weight in the event that you're going to get cancer and don't want to waste away as fast or something, I don't know if that's what you meant, but I will say, that's what I'm assuming at this point, is I would be telling myself, my parents died in their 60s, I'm in my 60s, and I plan on making the most of my health by doing these things. These are the things I know are so good for me. And you'll have to, if you've been telling yourself this story a long time, that somehow holding on to extra weight is like some kind of insurance policy against dying of cancer, you're going to need to tell yourself this all the time. But I would literally do a little research on what are the things that you can do to prevent cancer. Get some real, just go to the, this is when I would actually say go to Google, go to the Cancer Society and places like that, and just look up for some general articles. I'm not talking about going out there and getting out onto some kind of wild ass site. They want you on special diets and stuff. I'm talking about just what are core fundamental basics? I'm going to tell you, they're going to be very similar to mine. Drinking your water, getting plenty of sleep, daily movement, allowing yourself to get to a very natural, healthy weight, eating lots of fruits and vegetables and just, good for you foods. That's the best things that you can be doing, not holding on to your extra weight. I've been feeling great with how my clothes are fitting and how much better I look. My husband has been commenting, but the days I look at myself so happy, I tend to eat the worst. Self-sabotage, it doesn't make sense to me. If it is self-sabotage, it's because for some reason self-sabotage always comes from, if you're eating, then it is because there's two stories conflicting each other. So if you want to look, if you're starting to get external feedback and all this other kind of stuff, and the days that you look at yourself and you're very happy, you need to ask yourself, what are you thinking about your food? When I'm really happy about my body and stuff, what do I make it mean about eating? You're probably doing something along the lines of, now I can relax a little bit. What I would do is I would start redefining the whole relaxing thing. A lot of us think that, if I was you, I might even TDL on when people are at their natural weight, is it going to look different than what I'm doing now? You probably have it in your mind that you're going to have some other life with food, and it's coming out early. It's guess what? When you maintain, your life is about the same. The only difference for me, guys, literally the only difference, I eat the same, I do the same, I do the same shit you guys do, is I might be able to have plan in maintenance 2 to 3 nights a week if I wanted to have some wine or if I wanted to have Halo Top or something. But it's, guys, it is not a whooping party. You are not getting all you want and stuff. It is literally still planning, being conscious. I think ahead. I don't just eat things because it's there. I don't just grab ass. None of that stuff is part of maintenance. It wasn't part of weight loss. It won't be part of maintenance. And so, like, I think sometimes, though, if you have a, like, look around and snoop to see if you have some kind of a belief deep down that maintenance means we get to loosen the belt a little bit. So if you're already associating being proud and happy, like all the feelings you've dreamed about being in maintenance, you're probably taking the foot off the gas now for that. Amaka said the name right. I've been maintaining or losing very little over the past month or so. I know. Based on other coaching calls, I'm still overeating. I'm trying to work on my hunger scale, but not sure if I should be doing anything else to help myself. I just can't seem to get a grasp on the negative two and plus two. Keep focus there. You need to keep focus there. The easiest way to get a grasp on it is, like, seriously, wait until you're fucking hungry. Like, wait until you know you're hungry. Not when you think you're hungry, not when you think you should be hungry, not when you're tired of waiting. A lot of you are like, well, I'm just tired of waiting on that hunger. I'm going to go ahead and eat. It's probably been long enough. No. Truly wait until you're hungry. The reason why most of you can't wait is not because of the fear of being hungry. It's the fear of having to entertain yourself until you get there. Y'all are so used to using food as a source of entertainment to wind down, to get ready to do the next thing, to transition, to, like, it is such a behavior that you do for something other than just hunger. I would wait until you're truly hungry. Start on one side of it. Just pick the one you want to start on. Do that one for a week. Like, be like, all right, this week, even if I eat past my two, I'm not going to, like, sit there and, like, consciously do the plus two. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pay attention. And when I think I'm at my plus two, I will stop. But I'm not going to, like, have, like, triggers and things like that. For the first week, just focus on negative two first. Be like, there's no way I'm going to eat until I'm actually hungry. Like, I'm going to wait for a true hunger signal. No eating because I'm just uncomfortable waiting. Like, I'm actually going to wait. And let's do that side first and take really copious notes the whole time. And I want you to really detail it out. Like, this is what it felt like in my body. This was all the drama that I had around it. Like, that is the stuff to do. It's like to, because I have this, like, this is what I think. Once you guys have been in the tribe for a little bit, like, all of you guys have been here since, you know, either January or before. The hunger scale is not confusing. At this point in the game, what's probably really confusing is the thought gap between when you actually get hungry and when you just want to start eating, and the discomfort that comes in that gap. So I want you to really detail that, like the waiting of, like, I want to eat because I'm just, like, sitting here. I have nothing else to do. Like, the first call that I did yesterday. So if you listen to yesterday's call, the very first one, she was like, I'm rarely hungry. Like, she swore up and down she was not losing weight, and it wasn't having anything to do with anything other than, like, you know, I don't know. I'm at a loss. I've done so good. And so when we really started dialing in, she was just, like, talking. This is what always happens. You guys finally let your guard down, and you let me coach, and you just start talking. She's like, and I know I'm just rarely hungry between 12 and 1, but I go ahead and eat my lunch. I'm like, oh, so you're overeating. She's like, no. And I'm like, yes. And I said, why do you even eat between 12 and 1? She's like, well, I wouldn't even know what else to do between that time. I said, yeah, that's the problem. You're eating to solve the problem of, I don't know what to do with my life for an hour. That's overeating. And that is standing in the way of all your dreams. That 1 hour of being bored. I'm like, be bored for a little bit until you busy yourself doing something. And it won't be around food. So that is the thing. It's like really identifying those things. So what I want you to do is I want you to detail out when you're actually waiting to get hungry. Like, get out your journal and write about it. Guys, that is one of the best ways to get some relief from when you're experimenting with all this stuff, is to actually be writing about it. It feels like you're doing something productive, and it lessens a little bit of the maniacal focus of, like, oh my God, we should be eating. I don't know why we're doing this. Corinne is such a, like, asshole. I don't know why I even listen to that bitch. I think I'm going to cancel my membership. I don't like being hungry. Like, you need to be writing. It will keep you out of the deuter for a little bit and put your thoughts on the paper, and then you'll be able to find those real thoughts that you're having. Like, well, I don't know what else I would do between 12 and 1. I would be bored. And it's like, yeah, you'll never, ever find other things to do in your life until you quit eating. How do I enjoy this journey? I've been walking every day. My dogs motivate me to walk because they need to be exercised too. But when I'm out there, I'm feeling like, ugh, how quick can I get this done so I can go get my other stuff done? How do I shut off my brain to all the other stuff that I think is more important when it's not? My walk should be the most important of my day along with my food plan. I don't know why your walk has to be the most important part of your day. That's what I'm curious about. Like, I think, like, this is me. I don't think you like walking the dogs. I think that it's a chore. And I think you're trying to make yourself like something you don't like. Here's what I would do. I would just tell myself, yeah, this is one of the things on my to-do list. I don't have to love it, but the dogs need to be walked and we're going to walk the dogs and we're not going to bitch and moan about it. But I think you're trying to create a love affair with something that you just don't like. Why does that walk have to be the most important part of your day? Most important part of your day is your day. All the things you're doing. If you want to enjoy the journey, then you need to start finding things to like about your whole life. The journey is not about the most important things in my life right now have to be the food plan and the walking. It's like, well, no wonder you're not fucking enjoying the journey, because there's not much, like you're talking about a 30-minute walk. And I think I added it up. We spend about an hour a day between planning, eating, and preparing to eat and thinking about the eating. Maybe an hour. It's probably more like 45 minutes max. I don't even know if it's that long now that I think about it. Maybe I've done my math wrong. If we plan for 10 minutes a day, that includes our assessment, and we eat for 8 minutes and we eat 3 times a day, that's 24. Then if you have, let's say you snack twice, that's like 5 minutes. That's all it takes. If you're just saying that that's the joy of your life right there and you need to be like finding all the joy in it, the rest of your life is waiting for the joy. Go find joy there. I'm like, there's several times that I go work out. It's not the joyous part of my day. I don't sit there and be like, yay, here I am getting after it. It's so amazing. Like, no. It's a no. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times my salads are a no too. I'm not just sitting there going, oh my God, it's my salad. Thank God it's joy in the journey. No. I'm like, it's just stuff I do. The joy in the journey for me is like, planning workouts that I love, planning things that I like. If you're going to take your dogs out for a walk, listen to one of my podcasts. Enjoy that shit. Take the focus off the walk and put it on, like, put me on. Or put on somebody you like, or create you a playlist that you love. But I think you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself to like stuff that you're not really wanting to like. Some of you are just not going to be exercisers, guys. Get over it. It's fine. You don't need it. Like, taking a walk to be healthy is great, but you don't have to, like, sit there and celebrate and throw up a confetti cannon every time you go out the door. But you don't have to bitch and moan about it in your head. Like, I would just tell myself, we don't get to wish this part away. The dogs need to be walked. Here I am being a responsible pet owner. Maybe you just tell yourself, I'm being a very responsible pet owner right now. I'm just walking these dogs. Everybody look at me. Do you see how responsible I am? That's me. I'm the responsible pet owner. That's what I would be thinking about. And then when you're sitting there thinking about, this is what I would, like, how quick can I get this done so I can get my other stuff done? What I would do in my head is I would just be like, my other stuff will be there when I get back. I'm just going to get this walk over with. That'll be great. And if you want to think about your other stuff, prioritize the other stuff. Like, visualize yourself enjoying doing the other stuff. Visualize yourself knocking that stuff out. That'll make that walk go by a lot faster, too. All right, guys. That's it for the day. I am going to, let's see, brush my teeth. I am going to go get my hair cut because it needs it. And I'm going to get my talons done. I swear to God, y'all, I am the Wolverine. Will you look at this? It's terrible. I can't even type. So since the nail place is right next door to my hair place, I'm going there and I have a video that I have to watch to study for one of the upcoming things that I'm getting ready to do for you guys. So I'm going to watch that and take copious notes because I was like, man, if I'm going to sit there, this will be an excellent opportunity to watch this damn video that's been sitting in my inbox now for 2 months. I signed up for this course a long time ago and I need to get it started. So I'm going to do it today. You guys have a wonderful one. I will see you tomorrow for Weekend Motivator. And then I also have a surprise Facebook Live for you guys. It's not really that much of a surprise. What I'm going to talk about is a surprise on Saturday morning at, I believe it is at 9 a.m. Yes, it is. I'm going to announce something very cool and fun for opening week, which is April 3rd through 5th. So if you have friends, I'm going to tell you all about how you can win some fabulous prizes at PNP on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. That's all I'm going to tell you. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.